And thanks, CDSA, and everybody for coming. Glad to be here. My name is Pete Van Peenen, and I'm a consultant to Pearl TV. For those of you who don't know who Pearl is, it's a business organization that's really funded by eight of the large broadcast groups, including Cox, Graham, Hearst, Meredith, Nexstar, Tribune, Raycom, and Gray, Scripps, and Tegna. And we've been doing a lot of work in the ATSC standards, and for those of you who have been watching, the standards writing is really winding down. It's largely done, and we're moving into implementation. And by show of hands, how many people have actually read any of the ATSC 3 specs? Okay, we've got a few here and there. Okay, that helps me then know where we're going. So some of the things we're going to talk about today, I only have 15 minutes, so I'm going to try to keep it pretty brief. If I talk too fast, somebody just throw something at me. But we can talk about the protection mechanisms, a little bit about the standards, some of the things that have changed really in the last year. Really, our focus right now is moving on to the business and getting out of sort of the technology. In Phoenix, we've been doing a lot of testing of ATSC from a kind of a broad perspective, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff we're doing there. Talk about a little bit of the use of DRM in the unconnected and connected scenarios, and a little bit about the tank modes that are part of the standards, and then what's next and what are we working on next. So key protection mechanisms that are in the specs themselves include transport, and they default to TLS for that, and then cryptographic signing, really to handle the man-in-the-middle attacks, and there's two parts of that that are covered. One is broadcaster applications, and as you may or may not know, but ATSC 3 is a hybrid service, and one of the key benefits is broadcasters can emit an application that runs on a device or a television platform. So cryptographic signing of the apps, essentially code signing, and then also signing of the signaling to make sure that the signal that the receiver is receiving is actually authentic. A lot of use of digital certificates, primarily in the signaling area, and then content protection. So, and really, content protection is specified, but in the spec is using common encryption, and then DRM solutions to go with that. Okay, so in the standards, some of the relevant standards, I think, for security and some of the changes that have happened in the last year, A320B24 deals with the communication between the studio and the transmitter. And just recently, one of the changes they made was to select to use GCM or Galloway counter mode of AES, and it really has sort of two functions. One's a signing function, and then the other one's a key generation and distribution function. That's a fairly sizable chunk that's just been added probably in the last 6 months. And A3331, which is a signaling delivery and synchronization and error protection, they've defined two new elements. One is a signed multi-table, which is essentially a list of the lower-level signaling tables and their signatures. And then the signaling, kind of a hint in the signaling to suggest which DRM system is being used so that they don't have to dig and open up the dash MPD file to figure out what the DRM system is. A344, which is interactive content, that really kind of governs how the applications work and what the applications are. And I should say that the applications are meant to run in an HTML5 view reader. So there's some internet things that come along with that. And within that, they've defined some new DRM operation and notification APIs, really to handle sort of the license request and renewals. And then in A360, just some minor changes that have happened there. That really is the security document. But all these things, all these other documents sort of work in concert, but A360 just defines and focuses specifically on security. They made some changes to the broadcaster service ID, just changing the format of that from the hex to an integer. And what that impacted is any test certificates that have been generated for signaling, because the BSID is required to be in the signaling and the certificates for signing. And then they also added a certification data table, which is provides for over-the-air delivery a collection of certificates and OCSP responses. So you can, in a one-way mode, you can take advantage of things like OCSP responses. So that's where the standards are. I'm not missing anything. Yeah. Okay, so in Phoenix, what we've done in Phoenix, we took one of the existing transmitters from KFPH, which is a Univision stick, and they migrated all the services off of it, and then we're now pulling up to 10 different stations off air and sort of re-encoding to the 3.0 standard. So we're, at any given time, we're emitting six 1080p signals in a 6 megahertz channel in Phoenix right now. And so that was stood up last year. We announced it at NAB. Took a lot of work to get there because we had to have agreements between all the stations to do all this stuff. But from a service protection perspective, we started implementing a DRM solution for this for our free over-the-air solution. Those of you guys have been around for a while, you remember Aereo. All broadcasters really want to make sure that another Aereo doesn't take root. So we all want to just encrypt all our signal all the time, free to view, but make sure that it's protected. And we use a standard off-the-shelf sort of DRM solutions. It works really well when the device is connected. You can have that two-way communication, but it gets really hard when it's one-way only, when the device is not connected. And so we've been working with one of the major DRM providers to help us develop a solution for that that's low cost, easy to implement, doesn't have a lot of operational hassles to it. And so we've been testing it in Phoenix. Right now we have one of our signals on air encrypted all the time. And so we've been working with the transmission vendors and the receiver guys to make sure all this stuff works, because as you guys all know, these solutions are hard. Even though we are trying to borrow from a lot of things, the details matter. And we're going through many cycles of testing to kind of make sure we get it right. And what we're discovering in Phoenix, we're pushing back into the standards. And what you'll see next, you'll maybe see some revisions to some of the specs, but you'll probably see recommended practices that will capture all the things that we think are really essential and they've been missing in the original spec writing. We are doing application signing and signaling signing. We stood up a test public key infrastructure using DigiCert, and IATI is really the manager of that. And that's gone really well. So we're feeling comfortable that we kind of understand what it takes. We have made some tweaks to the certificate profiles to kind of get it all working. And now we're getting ready for launch. And you may have seen at the show, and even over the last couple of months, Sinclair has announced that they're launching in many markets. And there's more announcements that will happen during the show today, tomorrow, and the next day. And what about, you know, this is really becoming real now. It's not just a science experiment. It's not just a standard writing experiment. We're going to start launching it. So anyways, we're trying to wrap all that stuff back into the standards. And so with the other things we're focusing on now, there's a little bit of a mismatch in some of the CANC modes. ATSC defined the use of CBC and CTR, which is a little bit in conflict to the dash IF and some of the work that's happening in the CTA wave. So we're going to try to reconcile that stuff. We're using a notion of a preloaded license. So at the time of manufacture, a device can have DRM licenses preloaded so that you don't have to do any kind of two-way communication with it to get to, so people can just watch basic TV with them reconnecting their TVs. As you probably know, there's a lot of smart TVs out there. In fact, you can't even hardly buy a TV that isn't smart, but they're not all getting connected. So we still have to satisfy that, one, because it's our audience, and two, from a policy perspective, and the FCC wants to make sure that we're covering all of our constituents. There's still more DRM guidance. I think we mentioned the recommended practices that are coming out. There's still some things around there that we're finding we have to tweak a little bit to make sure that it all works. As you guys know, use of common encryption in browsers that utilizes EME, and in the TV set, you may not have an application running in the HTML5 user agent. The TV just wants to be able to decrypt it. So we're replicating some of the EME API calls, but we're kind of making it a little more efficient because the environment of the TV is a little bit different. But so there's some tweaks there that are continuing to happen. We want to make sure that this is done industry-wide so that we don't have any interoperability problems. So Pearl's been trying to get out there, lead the charge a little bit, get as many learnings as we can, and then just kind of hand it back to the industry and say, okay, here's what we found, here's what we're trying to do to fix it, and roll it back in. And again, just test. We're trying to test as much as we can. We do have partners and other stations that are starting to light up. They're from an experimental standpoint. We're taking our cookbook of how to implement some of these things and kind of handing it to them to make sure that, you know, it's not just our eyes that are looking at it, that we get a good full flush of all the techniques and things like that that we're using. And I think that's the last of my slides. Are we doing questions?
Up to you.
Does anybody have any questions? Yeah, I guess not. So thanks. I finished early. Do I get any prize?
Yes, you do. Actually, you get a drink. Thanks a lot.
Peter Van Peter.